Hello and welcome to another edition of the Guardian ID podcast. This is Zach Martin, editor of the Guardian ID magazine. Today we're speaking with Dr. Robert Waugh, Chief Medical Officer and Vice President of CSC's North American Public Sector Business Unit. Dr. Waugh and I are going to chat about healthcare identification. But before we dive in, first a word from our sponsor.
Whether you are protecting a critical infrastructure or vital information, or securing a facility or border, you need to answer the same question. In the modern world of identities, how do you establish with absolute certainty that someone is who they claim to be? At CSC, we understand that the heart of identity management is the creation of trusted identities. For more information, go to csc.com/identity-management. CSC, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
With a growing push for physicians to use electronic medical records, there needs to be a foolproof way to identify patients and safeguard their information. Smart cards, biometrics, and other technologies are being touted as possible solutions, and both have seen various deployments. Today we're going to talk about some of the challenges surrounding the issue, what are some of the possible solutions, and will we see a national standard for healthcare ID? Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Waugh.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I think you've done a nice job of laying out the situation. Obviously, the view of the world in healthcare today with technology is that we're first going to move from paper to digital world, and then we're going to have an interoperable digital network where that digital information can move from place to place easily but securely. And then we believe also that the next leg of that would be we would start extracting valuable information from that digital information. Interoperable network. I often have said that CSC is in the business of transforming healthcare with better information for better decisions so that people will have the information they need to make the right decision at the right time in healthcare. But to do that, all the participants in the system will now need to be authenticated. In a paper-based world, most of the authentication occurs in a very face-to-face manner so that the doctor verifies that the patient is who they say they are because they're seeing the patient. And similarly, when the paper moves from place to place, it usually goes along with a face-to-face process. Once it becomes digital, that authentication process needs other modalities for authenticating in the system. And I think that's where we're seeing the intersection of healthcare IT, cybersecurity, and identification management. And what I'm also seeing now is an inclusion of cloud computing as we look for revolutionary ways to move information and make it available at different places.
Can you take me through kind of how patients may be authenticated now and how you see that changing or how it may change?
So, you know, one of my experiences is in the Department of Defense where I spent 23 years in the Navy and was the Associate Chief Information Officer at the Military Health System. We have a website where patients can go and get information about their healthcare, either about their diseases or about, you know, their clinic at National Naval Medical Center Bethesda. And so they need a password to get onto the website. We have an 800 number where patients can call in and get an initial username and password, but that only allows them to do limited things on the website, like find out the hours of the clinic, the directions, maybe make an appointment at one of the clinics. But when they want to start accessing their personal health information, then they have to come in to one of our facilities and have what we call face-to-face authentication one time. So they have to present themselves with their identification, and then they get put into the system as having been identified. Because when you call on an 800 number, you could be anybody, right?
Right.
And so that's an example of when face-to-face authentication is required to give somebody a higher level of access in the electronic system.
Do you see that, you know, people are interested in combining, you know, electronic medical records and the health IT systems with the identification technologies?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we have always been seeing in healthcare is what we call role-based security, so that different people who are participants in the healthcare process have different levels of access to information. So a role-based security system would be something where the front desk clerk might have access to appointing information, but they wouldn't have information like the lab results or radiology results. Physicians tend to have a higher level of security, and so they would be granted privileges in the system that would give them access to more detailed information based on their role. One of the ways in which you establish your role is through some sort of a authentication or an ID process. Again, many systems have some sort of a token, an ID card, or other device that identifies the person, and then the system, recognizing that person, grants them a certain level of access based on their role. Now, one of our projects was in the Netherlands, where we were asked to connect the various healthcare components in that country. And there we have a Java card that is issued to all participants, and they use that Java card to identify themselves on the system, and then that grants them the correct access to the information that they need. I would point out also another, I think, analogy one could take from all the work that's been done in the area of authentication and security is that in security, in the security world, particularly Homeland Security, for instance, as an example, we often have to not check databases just one time, but repeatedly to make sure we have the up-to-date information. So, for instance, in Homeland Security, they often want to issue credentials to people to do sensitive things. When I say sensitive, I mean they're in a key position where you wouldn't want somebody with a bad background like a terrorist or a criminal to be operating. And so when they first issue the card, they may do a check of databases, making sure they check against a known database of terrorists, a known database of criminals, make sure that their taxes are not in arrears, things like that. So before issuing a secure or identity card to these people, we would go out and check all those databases. Well, it is important to dynamically continue to check those databases to make sure you have the most up-to-date information. So once the ID is issued, we want to go back maybe every month or every 6 months or every year and revalidate that they still aren't on any of those databases.
Okay.
If you think about that model where there's a single device or token or some central point that's related to a person that also goes out and checks these databases multiple times in a dynamic fashion, that's not unlike where we are in healthcare, where instead of an ID card being in the center of that picture, imagine there's an electronic medical record in the center of that picture. So now Robert Waugh's electronic medical record is the centerpiece here, and then dynamically we have a system that goes out and checks multiple databases, like a lab database, or a radiology database, or a pharmacy database, to make sure that it's continuously checking those databases and updating my electronic medical record just like it would update an ID card for somebody.
So if somebody was going to see a general practitioner and then had a referral to go see an orthopedist, you know, it would be able to gather all that information at one place in one central repository. Is that...
Possibly a repository. Some people have talked about, you know, it being virtual and sort of federated where the information stays where it is, but you have the address of where it is and you can pull it on as you need to. Other people envision a system where you might pull that information into a single database. I think that's less likely in the current environment here in the United States. The idea that all information would reside in a single database is probably a challenge for the current system. And not likely to occur, but in other smaller, more closed systems, there is more activity like that. Like in the Department of Defense, there's a clinical data repository where we collect all the information about the patients in the military in one single place and then access it as they move around, because they move around quite a bit. As these organizations start collecting information on patients, what they're really doing is forming what I've called data islands.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing in the future will be making sure we have a way of connecting those data islands. We don't necessarily have to take all the data islands and put them into one big data continent, but we do want to make sure we have access to the various pools of information so that we can have the best information for people to make the best decisions on as they're taking care of patients.
So, for example, if I'm a patient at one hospital in Chicago and I get rolled into the emergency room at another one and I have an ID card, they would be able to access that information and kind of find out some basic information, that sort of system?
That's one component of it. It isn't necessarily the ID card that triggers the whole event, although the ID card would facilitate making sure we know who you are and we identify you correctly in those other databases.
Okay, great.
But that's just one component. Obviously, the links and the permissions and the security and the privacy issues are all rolled into that.
Do you think we're going to eventually see, like, a national standard for healthcare identification, or do you think that's it's going to be individual, regional-based?
Well, I think what we're going to move towards is, as I said before, this interoperable digital network.
Okay.
And for that to happen, there has to be some rules of the road, correct?
Right.
So just like when the Internet got started, we needed some basic agreements about how we were going to identify information that we wanted to exchange, or how would we identify users on the system and things like that. I think the same thing is going to happen for healthcare exchange of information as well. I'm actually on a implementation group out of the Office of the National Coordinator currently, and we're looking at what they're calling NHIN Direct, or Nationwide Health Information Network Direct, where we're looking at the lowest level sort of communication rules that we'll need to put in place, or standards that we'll need to put in place to allow that better flow of information, not necessarily at the organization level, but perhaps even at the individual physician's office to the system, that kind of level of communication. So I do think we're going to see an ongoing amount of progress in this area. What I don't think we're going to see is a nationwide single health ID number.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think socially as a country we're ready to accept that,
right.
Although there are lots of examples of other countries that have chosen to do that. You know, we do a lot of work in the UK where CSC is responsible for connecting over 60% of the country in a digital electronic health network. And it turns out they've had a unique health ID number in the UK for over 60 years.
Hmm.
So it is possible for modern civilizations to have a unique health ID number without the sky turning dark and the world opening up and swallowing people. But here in the United States, I think there is not likely to be a unique health ID number issue to all citizens in the near future. But that doesn't mean we can't have the standards in place and the technology can be used to still make sure we properly authenticate everybody in the system. We just don't need to necessarily resort to a single ID number for everybody in the country.
Okay, great.
I just think it's a critical element for successful use of health information technology, but it's not the only element. There are many other elements involved in exchanging information beyond just simply the health ID part. The health ID part is not easy, but it is not the only part. Like I said, that's why I talked about that intersection between health IT, cybersecurity for privacy and security, but also the cloud computing elements as well, because we need to make sure we make this information available at the right place at the right time, but also in a secure and private fashion.
Great. Well, Dr. Wah, I'd like to thank you for joining us today on this latest edition of the Guardian ID podcast.
It's my pleasure.